and a good Wednesday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the podcast in all of your favorite podcast apps. Just search for the Nick Craig Show, tap that subscribe or follow button, and you'll get a new program delivered to your smartphone or tablet each and every weekday morning. You can also listen online by visiting the website. It's nickcraig.com. Want to thank the law group here in Wilmington for their support of the show this morning. We'll have more on them coming up. You can find out more at lawgroupnc.com. Well, we continue our coverage this morning of ongoing unrest, riots, and protests in Los Angeles, California overnight as the situation there continues to fall out of control. It's been going on since Friday, really, is when things kicked off in Los Angeles. As we went into Tuesday night, we were expecting more of the same, and well, I say it didn't disappoint. Unfortunately, it didn't. And it's finally, at this point, it's only been 5 days. The mayor, Karen Bass, finally announced that she was going to declare a curfew in the city in which she is responsible for. Here's the mayor at a news conference last night.
I wanted to let the city know that I have declared a local emergency and issued a curfew for downtown Los Angeles to stop the vandalism, to stop the looting. Many businesses...
Now, hold on a second here. What do you mean? Stop the vandalism, stop the looting. We have been told now for days that these are just peaceful protests. We have been told by elected officials... Well, I've got a clip of Maxine Waters coming up here in a minute. We've been told by the mainstream media, we've been told by those on the progressive left that there's no violence. This is just a peaceful protest. People are just standing by and having fun watching a car burn. Like it's, you know, just a block party, right? It's just some random barbecue. Everybody's just hanging around watching a Wemo self-driving car burn on the side of the street. It's just a peaceful protest. So we've been told for days now. So is Karen Bass now finally admitting after 5 days that the situation has gotten out of control? How many stores had to be looted? How many pieces of private property? How many vehicles had to be destroyed by ravaged protesters on the streets of Los Angeles before it turned into something that was violent? It was violent on Saturday night. That's when this all really kicked off. Friday night, there were some protests. Saturday night is where things turned violent, where you had agitators in the crowds that decided to use this situation for their own benefit to inflict chaos on a city, whether they live there or not. So the mayor now finally admitting after multiple days that this is actually a problem.
I wanted to let the city know that I have declared a local emergency and issued a curfew for downtown Los Angeles to stop the vandalism, to stop the looting. Many businesses have now been affected by or vandalized.
Oh, really?
Last night, there were 23 businesses that were looted. And I think that if you drive through downtown LA, the graffiti is everywhere and has caused significant damages to businesses and a number of properties. So my message to you is, if you do not live or work in downtown LA, avoid the area. Law enforcement will arrest individuals who break the curfew, and you will be prosecuted. Hundreds of officers from police and sheriff departments from across the region and state are working alongside LAPD through a unified command structure. The curfew will be in place tonight from 8 p.m. until 6 a.m.
It's just unreal, isn't it? It really is hard to put yourself in the shoes of these individuals like Karen Bass, like Gavin Newsom, like the rest of these progressive radicals that for days have just buried their head in the sand and pretended that this wasn't happening. You and I knew it was happening. I brought you coverage of it on this show. You opened up X. You opened up Instagram. You opened up Facebook. It's not like this stuff was hidden away. It's not like this was just happening in one tiny area. Karen Bass mentioning on Monday night, 23 businesses were looted and vandalized. So that's, it's finally reached the fever pitch where it's time to do something about it. This is what's wrong with Democrat politics. This is what's wrong with the current Democrat policies that they roll out to the American people. It's weak, it's ineffective, and it's useless. That's plain and simple the situation that's unfolding. This could have easily been resolved Saturday. Friday night, the protests kicked off. They, you know, they were for the most, on Friday, I don't know that there was any sort of violence or anything of that nature. Saturday night, things got out of control. At that point, Sunday morning, Karen Bass, Gavin Newsom, the rest of the folks running the show out in California should have stood up and said, enough is enough. But they didn't. They decided that they were going to shift the coverage, shift the narrative, and shift the conversation away from what was actually going on in the streets of their cities. They were going to shift away from that and go to, well, this is Donald Trump's fault. Instead of dealing with the issue right in front of their face, instead of dealing with the issue that they were looking at, that was broadcast all over global worldwide television, they decided that they were going to try and point the finger and claim that the violence that started on Saturday night was somehow caused by the president of the United States, who then went on a day later on Sunday. The timeline is important here. I know it's hard for some folks on the left, but facts and the timeline are important. Violence started on Saturday night. Sunday, Donald Trump sent the National Guard in to not roam the streets of LA, to not go through and arrest people, to guard two federal buildings in downtown Los Angeles. That happened after the situation got out of control, right? Cause and effect. That's how this works. The effect is Donald Trump responds with the National Guard. Why? Because individuals like Karen Bass, like Gavin Newsom, were unwilling to deal with the issue. And that has stayed the same all through the day on Sunday, all through the day on Monday, and it wasn't until last night she gave this news conference around 6 o'clock Pacific time, 9 o'clock here on the East Coast. Were they willing to say, yeah, maybe we should put a curfew in place? It's just insane, isn't it? It just goes to show you the lack of leadership. It goes to show you the lack of an ability to govern. It's not easy to put a curfew in place. It's not easy to make these statements publicly, but that's what you sign up for when you are elected, in the case of Karen Bass, as one of the mayors of the largest cities in the United States. Not every decision is going to be easy. Not every problem that you tackle is going to be sunshine, rainbows, and unicorns and lollipops. That's just not how it works. You're the mayor of freaking Los Angeles, California. But why did it take so long? I guess maybe the hope, like, yeah, this seems to be a constant trend with the Democrat Party in recent years. If you just wait long enough, an issue just kind of goes away. I think that's kind of how I've decided to justify some of these actions that take place. You look at illegal immigration under the last administration. They knew it was a problem. Everybody else knew it was a problem. And it seemed like if the approach was, well, if we just wait, if we just give it some time, either one of two things will happen. Either A, it will stop, the problem will just magically stop, or B, people will stop talking about it. Therefore, once it's no longer in the public media ecosystem, once it's no longer being talked about on social media, no longer being written about in the newspapers, or no longer being broadcast on the news, then it's like the issue isn't happening at all. But we've seen time and time again, just in the last couple of years, this approach, this strategy from the left doesn't work because these issues don't magically correct themselves. The agitators, the rioters, they're not just going to stop after 3 days. They're going to continue. And what we saw once again last night was things getting significantly worse in Los Angeles. The headline this morning over at foxnews.com, LA spirals into violence once again. Chaos returns for another night. Now, with the 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. curfew in Los Angeles, law enforcement officials were out overnight discussing and figuring out a game plan as to how to deal with these individuals, as you had multiple arrests yesterday, over 200 arrests from the Los Angeles Police Department yesterday afternoon. The largest was when a group of individuals stormed the 101 freeway. They were able to find a break in a fence and got themselves onto the freeway there, stopping traffic, blocking people from going to work, school, just completely upending people's lives for no reason, of course. For no actual reason. I mean, riding around in a mini bike next to a burning car waving a Mexican flag doesn't really do anything. I know this is a kind of a hard thing for folks on the left to wrap their head around, but doesn't really have any impact. Causing people to be hours late to work, having somebody sit in traffic for 3 hours because you've decided to shut down the freeway, is not a good way to get people on the side of your issue. Maybe I shouldn't be giving this advice to the left, but just a little bit of a reality check this morning. You don't win over people's support by ruining their day. You don't win over people's support by making their life a living hell when they're just trying to mind their own business and live their life. Nobody that ended up having to sit on the 101 freeway for over 3 hours yesterday afternoon. I can't imagine many of those folks are waking up this morning and going, you know what? Those protesters are right. Everything they're saying is right. This is right. That is right. No, they're pissed off beyond belief because they had half of their day yesterday ruined by individuals that felt that it was their duty to block the freeway. It was their right to impede the flow of traffic and stop people from going to their jobs, picking up their children from school, going to school themselves, trying to visit family members, trying to visit somebody. That's what they were trying to do yesterday. They were blocked by these out of control leftist agitators and protesters in California. And it's a really stupid approach by the left. Now, in all likelihood, they're going to continue. Even with these curfews, there was protests and rallies all day yesterday. And for whatever reason, Mayor Karen Bass keeps coming back to the same thing. This was her during the press conference last night as well.
We need to stop the raids. There should not be happening in our city. It is not warranted. And the only thing it does is contribute to chaos. This was chaos that was started at Washington, D.C., on Thursday, the city was peaceful. On Friday, it was not, because of the intervention of the federal government.
Yeah, so there's the continued call from the mayor of Los Angeles. These ICE raids need to stop. They're not going to, Mayor Bass. They're not. This administration has a very clear agenda and has set a very clear message to the American people that if you are in the country illegally, if you are in the country illegally and are found of any sort of other violent acts, which we have seen, you will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. And ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement officials, will be in your city, will be in your community. You don't get to choose whether the federal government enforces immigration law. How do I know that? Because I sat here as a conservative over the last 4 years and watched a federal administration completely ignore immigration law. I sat here and could do nothing and had no authority besides just talking about it, and watched the previous administration allow tens of millions of people into the United States. I didn't have any authority over that. No Republican governors had any authority over that. No Republican mayors had any authority over that. This is a directive that comes immediately from the White House. Now, you can disagree with it, as I did in the past, but this idea that the raids are going to stop, the idea that you're going to wish this or will this into existence is absurd. I can promise you it's not going to happen. There was a cultural shift in this country in early November of last year, November 5th to be exact. President Donald Trump, who ran an entire campaign on illegal immigration, was successful in winning all seven swing states, was successful in winning the popular vote, and he is bringing the commentary from his campaign to action in Washington, D.C. He is rolling out his policy. He is rolling out his agenda from the Oval Office, regardless of whether Karen Bass or Gavin Newsom like it or not. The raids are not going to stop. I played the clip yesterday from Tom Homan on Jesse Waters' show. They're not stopping. This is what the American people voted for. This is what the president ran a large chunk of his campaign on, and I would argue was very successful in doing so. The reason that he is sitting in the Oval Office this morning and Kamala Harris is not is largely because of immigration. We've looked at the polling. We've looked at the data. This is a popular platform for the president. These immigration raids are something that are, in fact, resonating with the American people, contrary to what Karen Bass has to say, contrary to what Gavin Newsom wants to claim. Getting people who are illegally in the country committing violence out is a very popular stance. It is a very popular opinion or a very popular action that is being taken by the president. Polling over the last 60 plus days, 90 days, has shown that that's the case. So you can guarantee they're not going to stop. Now, obviously, she knows she has no authority over this. And she is trying to stand up to the man. She's trying to use her bully pulpit as the mayor of L.A. to try and, whip the administration into this concept that they have to stop. She knows that it's not going to. While Karen Bass, I believe, is a woefully ineffective leader, she's smart enough to know that she's got no control over this. But she wins over support from her base, right? She gets in the good graces of those that are out in the streets of Los Angeles when she says, President Trump and Tom Homan need to stop what's going on. We need to stop the raids. And their reality is they're not going to stop. So that is the platform that she used last night to try and change things there. Some other breaking news that we are tracking this morning. A judge rejected California's bid to block Trump from deploying Marines and National Guards to Los Angeles. They were looking for an immediate temporary injunction from the court. They were unsuccessful in getting that, so there are arguments that are set to take place tomorrow in Los Angeles as that court proceeding takes place. So another loss for the Democrats on that, Trump using the National Guard. And, you know, he talked a little bit about this in the Oval Office yesterday before he made his way down to Fort Bragg. He spent the afternoon at the nation's largest military installation by population, but talking about the history of the Army, its 250th birthday, all of this ahead of Saturday's parade that's set to take place in Washington, D.C. Before he left for Fort Bragg, which I've got a bunch of clips on coming up, this was the back and forth exchange in the Oval Office with the media.
With the situation in California?
If there's an insurrection, I would certainly invoke it. We'll see. But I can tell you last night was terrible. The night before that was terrible. We have, as you've seen, it was on most of your networks, people with big, heavy hammers pounding the concrete and pounding curbs, pounding it, breaking up all, and handing these big chunks of concrete to people. And they were taking that concrete, going up on bridges and dropping it into the roof of a car. They were throwing it at our police. They were throwing it at our soldiers that are there. And we got it stopped, and we have them in custody right now. Look, if we didn't get involved right now, Los Angeles would be burning, just like it was burning a number of months ago with all the houses that were lost. Los Angeles right now would be on fire, and we have it in great shape. I'm not playing around.
How will you determine whether or not there is an insurrection?
Well, you take a look at what's happening. I mean, I could tell you there were certain areas of that of Los Angeles last night, you could have called it an insurrection. It was terrible. But these are paid insurrectionists. These are paid troublemakers. They get money. And when you take a look at what they do, where they show up, and everyone's saying, what's he doing? He's pounding the curbs. This one guy's pounding the curb, breaking the curb, and handing big pieces of granite, in some cases it's granite and concrete, to other people, and they're running out with it. And then we watch the other people, and they try and throw it into the face of the soldiers, throw it into the face of the police, and they hurt some people very badly. They go up on bridges, they drop it down on the cars as the cars are moving. They're not breaking the curb because they're doing a demolition service. They're breaking it to hand out to people as a weapon. That's bad. It's bad stuff. I've never seen that before.
So that's the president's comments before he left for Fort Bragg yesterday, spending the afternoon here in North Carolina. And in the middle of his commentary yesterday, while the president did get in to what's going on in Los Angeles, here's President Trump yesterday afternoon.
And before going further, I want to say a few words about the situation in Los Angeles, California. Have you heard of the place? Where I've deployed thousands of National Guard troops and hundreds of Marines to protect federal law enforcement from the attacks of a vicious and violent mob and some of the radical left. They say, oh, that's not nice. Well, if we didn't do it, there wouldn't be a Los Angeles. It'd be burning today, just like their houses were burning a number of months ago. Generations of Army heroes did not shed their blood on distant shores only to watch our country be destroyed by invasion and third world lawlessness here at home, like is happening in California. As Commander in Chief, I will not let that happen. It's never going to happen. What you're witnessing in California is a full-blown assault on peace, on public order, and a national sovereignty carried out by rioters bearing foreign flags with the aim of continuing a foreign invasion of our country. We're not going to let that happen. Remember, millions of people were allowed to come into our country totally unchecked and unvetted by stupid people or radical left people or sick people. But regardless, open border policy, the dumbest policy yet, I would say even dumber than men playing in women's sports, transgender for everyone. Even dumber than that, they're hurling bricks and cinder blocks at law enforcement. Did you see they're breaking up the sidewalks and the curbs, breaking it up with big, strong hammers? These guys are professionals. These are not amateurs. They're breaking it up because they took the bricks away from them. They came in with bricks, red bricks, that they could throw at our military and at the police in L.A., who are very good, but they weren't aggressive like our soldiers. Our soldiers really were aggressive, but they all worked together. But they came in with bricks, they were taken away, and they had hammers. Oh, wow, how did that happen? And they're pounding the sidewalk. I said, what the hell is he doing? And he's breaking it up and making it into concrete bombs, in a way, and they're dropping them on our military. They're throwing them at our military. Pretty good arms they had, too. Hits guys right in the face. Big chunk of concrete. Worse than a brick. They're taking them up to the bridges, and they're dropping them in the cars that are going by. These are animals. But they proudly carry the flags of other countries, but they don't carry the American flag. They only burn it. Did you see a lot of the flags being burned? They weren't being burned by people from our country or from people that love our country. People that burn the American flag should go to jail for 1 year. That's what they should be doing. 1 year.
Now, I'm going to stop the president right there. I don't agree with that statement at all. He'll continue talking about it. I understand the point that he is trying to make. And while I find it disgusting and disgraceful that people would burn American flags, don't know that it needs to be a criminal offense. Morally, I am not a fan of that going on, but you know, we live in a free society. We live in a free country. If you want to express that by burning your own American flag, if you want to purchase an American flag and burn it in the middle of the road, while I wouldn't do that, I wouldn't support that, don't know that it needs to be a criminal offense. I think Trump in all honesty, I think he's dead wrong about this. This sets it's a very slippery slope with this process of, oh, well, burning an American flag, you need to go to jail for that. I can't say I co-signed the comments there from the president.
And we'll see if we can get that done. We're going to try and get that done. We're working with some of your senators. I know Senator Josh Hawley is very much involved. And I know the two senators from here. I think are you guys in favor of it? Boy, would this be a bad time for them to say no. I got you. I got those two votes. The agitators are throwing firebombs, Molotov cocktails, lighting vehicles ablaze. You saw all the cars that were burning, mobbing police officers and ICE officers, who are the toughest people you'll ever meet, and they love our country, and they're getting really they want to stomp on them, but they're too tough. They don't allow it. And attempting to infiltrate and occupy federal buildings wearing armor and face shields. The best money can buy, somebody's financing it. We're going to find out through Pam Bondi and Department of Justice who it is. They're already on it. Who's financing all this equipment? Very professional. Under the Trump administration.
Now, that's another good point that I think does actually need to be investigated. You know, this has been kind of an ongoing, long-term discussion. Anytime there's any level of civil unrest on at the hands of Democrats, there is always this element of who is paying for all of this stuff. You probably saw some commentary over the last couple of days on these shields, these face shields that were brought in for some of the protesters so that they could go right up to the police line. They were kind of immune to things like smoke grenades and things of that nature. Those things are very expensive. Hundreds of dollars per face shield. Who is paying for that? Who is financing that? The regular people protesting in the streets of Los Angeles are not going out and spending $300 on a face mask. And that's just not happening. Some external group is funneling money into the protest and paying for those kinds of supplies and materials. President Trump says that he is going to have Pam Bondi look into that. I think that's a great idea because you cut off the funding, you cut off the financing to this stuff, and it probably goes away pretty quickly. One of the reasons that these things continue and operate the way that they do is because there's significant amounts of money behind it. I mean, I saw folks posts on social media of Craigslist ads, people paying thousands of dollars, $2,000-$3,000 a week for people to show up at these protests. That's significant amount of money that is being spent for this civil unrest. Who is actually paying for this thing?
This anarchy will not stand. We will not allow federal agents to be attacked, and we will not allow an American city to be invaded and conquered by a foreign enemy. And that's what they are. A lot of those people were let in here by the Biden administration. They just poured right in. They came from prisons, they came from jails from all over the world, they came from mental institutions, they were the leaders of gangs, they were drug lords, allowed to come into our country. Their countries threw them out. Their countries would bus them or drive them right to our border and say, go in there, you ever come back, we're going to kill you. And we got them, and we're getting them out of here. I want to applaud the courage and the strength of the incredible troops who are right now standing guard to protect federal property and personnel and uphold the supremacy of federal law. That's what they're doing. They're protecting our ICE agents. They're protecting the police in Los Angeles. The head of the police in Los Angeles, a good man, I hear a good man, but he was actually saying we really did need this help. It had gotten away from them. It had long gotten away. And we gave it to him. Not only are these service members defending the honest citizens of California, they're also defending our republic itself. And they are heroes. They're in there, they're heroes. They're fighting for us. They're stopping an invasion just like you'd stop an invasion. The big difference is most of the time when you stop an invasion, they're wearing a uniform. In many ways, it's tougher when they're not wearing a uniform because you don't know exactly who they are. In Los Angeles, the governor of California, the mayor of Los Angeles. They're incompetent. And they paid troublemakers, agitators, and insurrectionists. They're engaged in This willful attempt to nullify federal law and aid the occupation of the city by criminal invaders. That's what it is. They're invaders. No different. Their position is that the rioting will not stop unless ICE withdraws from Los Angeles and ceases the enforcement of federal immigration law. In other words, they came in here illegally. Many of them came out of prisons and jails, the most heinous people. They came from all over the world. They came from the Congo in Africa. They came from Asia. They came from the prisons of these places. They were put into the United States and allowed to stay here because we had a grossly, grossly unfit president.
There are some of the comments there from President Donald Trump yesterday at Fort Bragg as it relates to the ongoing protests, riots, civil unrest in Los Angeles. They did continue last night, even though the mayor did set an 8 p.m. curfew. Hopefully that will hopefully quell things in the days to come. One of the other things that we're tracking this morning, Gavin Newsom posting on his X account yesterday that he has not spoken to President Donald Trump. Gavin Newsom posting this saying, quote, "There was no call, not even a voicemail. Americans should be alarmed that a president deploying Marines onto our streets doesn't even know who he's talking to." So that's the commentary from Gavin Newsom, only to be followed up with a report from John Roberts at Fox News, which shows an outgoing phone call on June the 7th, a 16-minute outgoing phone call on June the 7th to Gavin Newsom from the White House that took place at 1:23 a.m. Eastern time on June the 7th, which I guess the 7th was a Saturday morning. So this would have been Friday night into Saturday morning when this phone call took place. So Gavin Newsom, once again, caught in a lie on all of this. He held some, attempted to hold some sort of a news conference last night. He set up this news conference, told everybody to tune in and watch it, only for there to be no audio on the news feed that Gavin Newsom was trying to bring forward. So another fail, more incompetence from the administration out in California, whether it's the governor or the mayor of Los Angeles, a really screwed up situation. Again, they had the ability to deal with this. Elected officials in California, if they wanted to stop this violence from taking place in the streets, could have done so multiple days ago. The reality is they don't. The reality is they have no interest in stopping the violence because they believe it pushes their agenda forward. And you can only imagine as we get into this weekend where there are set to be thousands of protests across the country for so-called No King's Day on Saturday, that there will be, in fact, a lot more violence taking place in streets across the United States. You can guarantee it because it happens every time these groups get together. And that's everything is inflamed right now. The mainstream media is, of course, stoking this. They're continuing to push this narrative that it's Trump's fault that this is taking place, that, you know, if he just wasn't involved, which, again, by the way, his involvement is not relevant in this whole discussion at all. There are National Guards folks, members of the National Guard, in just two locations in Los Angeles. They are not. The National Guard is not roaming the streets side by side with LAPD. That's not happening. The National Guard is just in two locations. So this idea, this narrative that keeps getting pushed, I was at an event last night and heard somebody mention that, you know, Trump calling in the National Guard they find it very troubling and challenging. It's an inaccurate narrative. There's no truth to the idea that the National Guard is roaming the streets of Los Angeles. They're protecting two federal buildings, which the president believes he's got the jurisdiction to do. And at least as of yesterday in a court decision, the unwillingness of a court to immediately kick the National Guard out, a court believes that at least temporarily as well. So we'll continue to watch this process unfold out in the greater Los Angeles area. We'll keep an eye on that and, of course, track some of the details over the weekend for No King's Day. Maybe I'll head down to the one here in Wilmington, record some video, and see if we can figure out what's going on down there. We'll keep an eye on those details. But again, yesterday, President Donald Trump in Fort Bragg. I'll have some audio and video from him and Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of Defense, coming up here in just a few minutes. But before that, when legal challenges arise, make sure you put your trust in the law group right here in Wilmington. Since 2003, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across eastern North Carolina. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating a real estate transaction, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense, the Law Group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved promptly. They're located in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. That's 910-251-6088, or their website, lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. We appreciate and thank the Law Group for their continued support of the Nick Craig Show. More on Trump at Fort Bragg coming up after this. You're listening to the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X, and 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. Good Wednesday morning to you. Thanks for sticking with us here on the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X, 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts. President Donald Trump, the commander-in-chief, was in North Carolina yesterday at Fort Bragg for the in anticipation of the 250th anniversary of the United States Army. Before he spoke yesterday afternoon around 4 o'clock, he spent a couple of hours seeing military demonstrations, a lot of great video of that taking place online. He traveled with Pete Hegseth as well as Dan Driscoll, who is the head of the United States Army, also happens to be a North Carolina native, so pretty cool connection there as well. And before we get into some of the comments from President Trump, before he got up on stage, it was the Secretary of Defense and Pete Hegseth. And boy, did he light up the crowd and get their support talking about the three pillars that the DOD has in restoring our armed services. Here's Pete Hegseth.
So at the Defense Department, we're doing three critical things at his direction. Number one, we're restoring the warrior ethos. We're getting back to basics. Standards, accountability, readiness, training, warfighting, lethality. We're not a college or a university. We're not interested in your woke garbage and your political correctness.
Now, let me pause that there for those that are listening to the show this morning, which we appreciate you listening. Hegseth is standing on stage, and behind him are armed service members who are at this event at Fort Bragg. And when he makes this comment, how we're not your woke institution, we're not your woke college, everybody that is immediately behind him, and there's probably 25 to 30 people that are immediately in the camera shot behind Hegseth, all of them cheer and open their mouths and yell about about getting out wokeness within the United States Armed Services. So obviously you can see there's broad support for this measure, at least from the individuals that have actually signed up and are willing to put their lives on the line to protect my and your freedom each and every day. Take a listen again.
University. We're not interested in your woke garbage and your political correctness. We're warfighters who close with and destroy the enemy on behalf of our nation when we come home to those we love, because we don't fight because we hate what's in front of us. We fight because we love what's behind us. That's what makes the American soldier different. So we're restoring the warrior ethos back to basics. We're also rebuilding our military. We'll have the first $1 trillion budget. You will have the best equipment in your hands to stare down the enemy. From multi-billion-dollar platforms to the best rifles to the best equipment to hypersonics and drones and fighters and jets, ships and carriers, everything you need, President Trump will make sure you have. We're rebuilding the military after 4 years of deferred maintenance.
Rebuilding the military, talking about unfortunately deferred maintenance. That's a pretty accurate way to describe the last couple of years as it relates to the armed services here in the United States. Pete Hegseth continues with that third pillar and some of the efforts that he's putting forward from the DOD.
And finally, we're reestablishing deterrence. Our allies know that we stand with them, and our adversaries know what we are capable of doing to them, so that we can maintain peace through strength. President Trump seeks peace. He wants peace. So do I. So do you. For our families, for our kids, and our grandkids. But those who long for peace must prepare for war. And that's something the 82nd Airborne, America's 911, does every single day. So it's an absolute honor to be your 29th Secretary of Defense. You have my pledge that every single day our focus is on you and your mission and having your back.
Now, you can only imagine, I will say, I'm not in this position at all, but you can only imagine these young men and women that are at this event in Fort Bragg yesterday, the young men and women every single day that decide that they are going to sign up, potentially risk their lives for the freedom of the United States of America. Right? We're not in a draft right now. Anybody that enlists in the military right now is doing it voluntarily. You can imagine the respect that they've got for somebody like Pete Hegseth, a guy that has seen it firsthand. And you talk about and compare and contrast what you've seen in the past as compared to what you've got now with Pete Hegseth. And it's obvious that the members of the armed services, members under the DOD, that are in complete and total support of Hegseth. Jay Hills is commenting on our Rumble chat live this morning and says, seeing Hegseth on Normandy Beach last week doing PT with his soldiers shows how a true military leader should conduct themselves. Jay Hills, absolutely spot on. And it's such a stark difference from the last couple of years. Now, Hegseth, of course, was dragged through the mud during this confirmation process. The whole shebang. You watched it unfold. We talked about it here on the show in the early first couple episodes here of the Nick Craig Show earlier this year. But man, listen to the words out of his mouth, and listen to the cheering of the crowd. Not just the public that was at the event yesterday in Fort Bragg, but the individuals standing behind Hegseth. They are in complete and total support of him. And that has led to something that President Donald Trump talked about yesterday, which was recruiting numbers, which are sky high right now for the military.
After years of recruiting shortfalls, this is, to me, maybe the most exciting things. We're setting the strongest peacetime recruiting records ever. Just think of this. 6 months ago, we couldn't recruit anybody to join the military. Nobody wanted to join. That was 6 months ago. And then we had the election of November 5th, and now we have the strongest recruiting numbers in the history of our country. Can you imagine that? We've already surpassed our recruiting targets for 2025, and we're not done yet.
Yeah, we're not done yet, and you can probably understand why some of those recruiting targets have already been met. You can probably understand why, when you listen to the commentary from Pete Hegseth, when you listen to the commentary from the Commander-in-Chief, President Donald Trump, that it's no wonder recruiting levels are so high. It's no wonder that individuals are willing to sign up, willing to sign their name on the dotted line, knowing damn well that they could be put in a position where they have to risk their lives for the United States of America. And, you look at, Lloyd Austin, who was in that position under the Biden administration. What was he up to at the time? Well, there was days and weeks where he was gone. And he had somewhat major surgery in the middle of his term as the Secretary of Defense. Didn't bother telling anybody that he was going to be, obviously unavailable for a period of time because of the fact that he was having major surgery done. It's a joke. And so you've got now President Donald Trump leading the charge with Pete Hegseth, Pete Hegseth out on the beaches of Normandy doing PT with individuals that are currently serving in the armed forces, talking about how we're cutting woke, we're cutting all this liberal progressive bullshit out of the military. We're getting back to readiness. We're getting back to deterrence. The United States is set to spend $1 trillion on defense in the 2026 fiscal year budget. No wonder recruitment is so high. No wonder people are willing to sacrifice their own lives in support of the United States of America to protect the freedom that you and I have every single day, the freedom that I have to sit here every morning and talk about the news of the day, the freedom that all of these protesters in Los Angeles have right now to walk around the streets of LA and you know, conduct a peaceful protest. That's what people are signing up for. And when they see strong leadership from the top down, starting with the president and heading down into places like the Department of Defense with Secretary Hegseth, again, it's no wonder. It's no surprise that recruitment is at the level that it is right now. Props to Pete Hegseth and props to President Donald Trump for sticking with him when it was politically probably not super advantageous to do so. Sticking with him through this process, I might argue it's one of Trump's better secretary cabinet picks, based on everything that I've seen and some of the comments from Hegseth. So now we'll turn over more to President Trump again at Fort Bragg yesterday. This is how he opened his comments to the brave men and women of Fort Bragg, North Carolina.
This week we honor 250 years of valor and glory and triumph by the greatest fighting force ever to walk the face of the earth, the United States Army. For 2.5 centuries, our soldiers have marched into the raging fires of battle and obliterated America's enemies. There's never been anything like it. There's never been a force like this.
Again, this is all coming ahead of the 250th anniversary of the United States Army. A president talking about that anniversary as well in Fayetteville.
But for the American people, there's no greater pride because you are the righteous sword of American justice and the ultimate shield of American freedom. This week, we remember that we only have a country because we first had an army. The army was first. In fact, the army was even before the country. You know that, right? 1 year before the country. After 250 years, we still proudly declare that we are free because you are strong. You are so strong. We're safe because you are brave, and America's flag will never fall because America's army will never, ever fail. Never going to fail. Every branch of the armed forces has played a critical role in protecting our nation, but no one has done more fighting, bleeding, and winning than the U.S. Army. Nobody's done that. The Army has earned more combat medals and more battle ribbons than any other service, and 70% of all of the medals of honor we give away. Medals of honor all the time at the White House to incredibly brave people, but you have 70% of them, Army soldiers, and especially our Army paratroopers, truly go all the way. You know that expression, all the way. It's one of your beautiful expressions. As President of the United States, let me express my undying gratitude to our nation, for every soldier here today, for every veteran and their families, those incredible families that are with us and all across America, and for every patriot who has worn the uniform over 250 years. Can you imagine that? We thank you from the absolute bottom of our hearts.
And so you listen to those comments there from President Trump, and again, going back to the recruitment goals, it's no surprise that individuals are willing to do that. He then got into some of the history of Fort Bragg, which it was interesting. I was doing some light reading on this last night. The Fort Bragg originally established in 1918 as an artillery training ground. At the time, it was called Camp Bragg. The chief of field artillery, Major General William Snow, was seeking an area that has suitable terrain, adequate water, rail facilities, and climate suitable for year-round training. And he decided that the area met all of those desired criteria. Camp Bragg, which would then become later Fort Bragg, was originally named after Braxton Bragg, a former U.S. Army artillery commander and West Point graduate who later in life became a well-known Confederate general during the American Civil War. The aim was for 6 artillery brigades to be stationed there, and $6 million was spent on the land and all of the construction of that facility back in between 1918 and 1920. It is now sitting as the world's largest military population in the entire world, with more than 52,000 military personnel that are stationed at Fort Bragg. The facility covers more than 251 square miles. President Trump talking about some of that history as well.
This is the home of the Green Berets, the Sky Dragons, and the All-American 82nd Airborne. We know what 82nd Airborne Division is. This is where the GIs who won the Second World War learned to pack their parachutes and push howitzers and go right into those C-47s with lots of arms and push them right out those big, beautiful doors and wield their bayonets and pry the enemy from the hedgerows of the French. It was here in this soil that the Army forged the metal that held strong at Bastogne. It was here the mighty paratroopers earned their wings before they rained down death from above to liberate Sicily, Normandy, and even the Netherlands. That's right. Every inch of this base is steeped in the legacy of those warriors who have said with pride, "Sir, I trained at Fort Bragg, sir." That was pretty cool. And that is why we restored the historic name of this very, very special place. I don't know if it could be the same place. Fort Bragg is in. That's the name. And Fort Bragg, it shall always remain. That's never going to be happening again.
Obviously, renaming of Fort Liberty back to Fort Bragg was something that President Donald Trump did very early on in his administration. He also announced yesterday afternoon that there was set to be other military installations that have had their names changed over the last couple of years, changing those back as well. Here's the president.
For a little breaking news, we are also going to be restoring the names to Fort Pickett, Fort Hood, Fort Gordon, Fort Rucker, Fort Polk, Fort A.P. Hill, and Fort Robert E. Lee. We won a lot of battles out of those forts. It's no time to change.
No time to change there for the president. He spoke for just shy of about 55 minutes at Fort Bragg yesterday before making his way back to Washington, D.C. All of this culminating this weekend as the president is having a military parade to celebrate the 250th anniversary of the United States Army in Washington, D.C. this weekend. Members of Fort Bragg, artillery from Fort Bragg, and troops will be making their way up to Washington, D.C. See more than 7,000 service members and more than 130 vehicles will take place in that military parade that is set to happen Saturday afternoon in Washington, D.C. That day also is coinciding with the left-wing No King's Day protests, which are slated to take place all across the United States. So we'll keep an eye on some of those details as we get closer to the weekend. We'll have probably a better timeline as to what exactly is going to be happening in D.C. and when coming up a little bit later on this week. So we'll keep an eye on that. All in all, great honor to have the president here in North Carolina yesterday. Obvious from the commentary, obvious from the cheers of the crowd that those men and women that are wearing the red berets, that are wearing the military attire, standing behind the president, are fully behind our commander-in-chief and U.S. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. It is great to see that. It is phenomenal to watch those individuals, again, who are willing to sacrifice it all for my freedom and for your freedom, that they've got a strong commander-in-chief in Donald Trump. They've got a strong Secretary of Defense in Pete Hegseth, and that has led to sky-high recruitments within the various branches of the United States military, and you can imagine that things like that will probably continue due to this kind of rhetoric coming out of the Trump administration. So that's President Trump's visit. A great day yesterday outside of Fayetteville in Fort Bragg. Well, that's going to do it for a Wednesday edition of the Nick Craig Show. Thanks to the law group here in Wilmington for their continued support. Give them a call at 910-251-6088 or visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. We're back with you tomorrow morning live, 7 a.m., YouTube, Rumble, and X, and 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts.